Just like that, it's over. The 2019 baseball season is officially finished for the New York Yankees, and it's left with a lot of disappointment. We'll recap the remainder of the American League Championship Series and look ahead toward the 2020 season. That and more on this episode of the Pinstripe Talk podcast, which begins right now.
You are listening to the Pinstripe Talk podcast, powered by Overtime Media.
And we're back here with another episode of the Pinstripe Talk podcast. I'm your host, Nick Delahanty. It's a very disappointing day in Yankee land as the Yankees have officially been eliminated from postseason contention. Such a promising season, such an up and down roller coaster, and to end with a disappointment that we call Game 6 is just frustrating and heartbreaking. And any word that describes sadness and frustration you can put on this loss and this series. The Yankees come up short again. It's the first time in a very long time that the Yankees go a full decade without making a World Series appearance. It's been a tough drought, but, you know, there's a lot of good things that did come out of this season. And we know the ups and downs of what happened, and we understand all the injuries, all the struggles, all the situations that this team has dealt with and they overcame. But at the end of the day, when you don't win that World Series title, it's a disappointing year and it's a frustrating year at that. And the Yankees came up short once again. Once again, the Astros knocking them out of the postseason. We're going to recap the remainder of the ALCS series. If you listen to our last show, we recorded after Game 2, so we'll take a look at the final four games of the series, and we'll give a little quick glimpse ahead toward 2020 and what the 2020 Yankees might end up looking like. We're going to have a lot of content during the offseason. We're going to break down all the latest news, updates, rumors surrounding this team as they look to shape this team for the future and hopefully get them back on track to win a World Series. But again, this is a frustrating day. I'm sure you could hear the disappointment in my voice. I haven't been this disappointed in a long time. It's a very sad day, and I know the Yankees Nation is grieving, but we are very thankful that you guys continue to listen to our show on a weekly basis and continue to support us and ultimately join in on our conversation, because we all have something in common, and that is that we all absolutely love the New York Yankees. So when we get the chance to talk about the team and even talk about the good, the bad, the ugly, you're there with us on every step of the road. And we cannot stress enough how much that means to us, especially given that we love doing what we do. If you haven't interacted with us yet and you want to, find us on Twitter at Pinstripe Talk ND. You can follow my personal account at Nick_Delahanty. Like up our Facebook page by searching up Pinstripe Talk Podcast. Again, find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music, Spotify, TuneIn Radio. You name it, our show is there available for you. We also have a website via Overtime Media, which is our host site. Please go check that out. It's a really nice site. And continue to listen to our shows as we continue to create content throughout the off season. It really stinks to say that the season's over. It's very frustrating at that. But we're going to look back at the series from Game 3 on, and we're going to break down some of the key things that happened in each one of those games that really stood out. The Yankees return home for Game 3, and they have Luis Severino on the mound facing arguably the Astros' best pitcher in Gerrit Cole. Cole wasn't fantastic in this game, but he still shut out the Yankees. You know, he walked five batters, let up a couple of hits, but the main thing about him was he really settled down in situations where he had to, and he got stronger as the game went on. He was able to hold the Yankees' offense stagnant. They couldn't get anything going against him, and he had an early lead to work with right away. Had the 1-0 lead in the first. It was 2-0 after two, and the Yankees just couldn't figure him out. And it was a key changing point in that game, especially given that the game was at Yankee Stadium. The Yankee fans were wild and crazy and were loud, but he didn't give them reason to get into the game. And that's a key component as to why the Astros were able to pull off a 4-1 win. The Yankees do add a run in that eighth inning with a Gleyber Torres homer, say what you want about the Yankees offense, but Glaber was really good this postseason, and it was just not enough. The Yankees were unable to score any more runs, and they put themselves in a deficit where Game 4 basically becomes a must-win situation. And then you get the rain on Wednesday, and the series gets pushed back a day, which ultimately gave the Yankees a bit of an advantage because they were able to go to Masahiro Tanaka in this game on full rest. And Tanaka wasn't amazing, but he did enough to keep the Yankees in the game. For me, the turning point of the game came right in the bottom half of the first inning. The Yankees had Zach Greinke on the ropes. He couldn't figure it out. If you go through the inning, LeMahieu leads off with a walk. Then you get an Aaron Hicks single, an Edwin Encarnacion walk. Gardner walks to bring in a run, but then the rally is ruined by a Gary Sanchez strikeout, a guy who is absolutely terrible in this series at the plate, and that was a real turning point for this team. They go down early in that one. By the third inning, they're down 3-1, end up losing the game 8-3, and say what you want about the pitching. In my opinion, the pitching did enough to keep them in the game, in the series. You know, they used a lot of arms. They really had a mix and match, but at the end of the day, the Yankees offense is the one that really let them down, and we're going to talk about that more as we break down the series as a whole. But again, these type of losses at home are very frustrating. Now you find yourself down 3-1 in a must-win situation, knowing that now you're not going to have an off day before you head back to Houston if you win. So if the series goes that far, you're playing Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I'm sorry, but that's a tough task for any team, especially one that really didn't use their relievers in back-to-back days. It's a real struggle. It's a real situation the Yankees were going to have to face. And down 3-1, they really, really, really had their backs against the wall and had to win that Game 5 at home to extend the series into Houston. With their backs against the wall in Game 5, the Yankees turned to James Paxton, and he was phenomenal. He really showed why this team traded for him in the offseason. 6 strong innings of work, only allowed 1 run, and that earned run came in the first inning of the ballgame. You love to see what Paxton did on the mound, and you have to especially love the fact that Aaron Boone comes out to the mound, and Paxton's not willing to give up the ball. He wants to finish the inning. He wants to help this team win. You love seeing that out of him, and see what you want about the first half of the year for him. He really turned it up in the second half. I don't know if it was the injury with the knee that got to him early on, but he was dominant in the second half of the year and really stood out for this Yankee team. Imagine where they would have been without him, considering all the injuries they've had, considering Domingo Germán getting suspended. This team desperately needed somebody like him to step up, and he did the job. And the Yankees offense got to Justin Verlander early and did just enough in that first inning to win the game. They had 2 home runs, 1 from LeMahieu on a leadoff homer. Then he had Aaron Hicks, who added a 3-run shot. And that was all the scoring in the ballgame. Credit to the pitching. The Yankees bullpen did a nice job filling in after Paxton. They went Canley to Britton to Chapman. That's their bread and butter. You know, you'll take that every day. Yankees win that game. They forced the series to go back to Houston for a pivotal Game 6. And while you're looking at it, you're saying to yourself, who's going to start Game 6? This is a situation where both teams are in question as to what they're going to do. Do the Astros bring back Gerrit Cole on short rest and try to finish the series right away? Do the Yankees turn to Luis Severino on short rest knowing his injury history? What do you do? We're going to break down both teams, what they did in Game 6, a heartbreaking Game 6 for the Yankees to say the least, when we return here on the Pinstripe Talk Podcast, powered by Overtime Media. Yankees fans, it's time to start looking ahead to the 2020 season. Are you planning on heading to the Bronx next year? If so, make sure you have your seat for the game with Vivid Seats. Vivid Seats is the top source for tickets for the events you want to go to. You could sort by price or look for seats in sections and rows of your choice, all in the Vivid Seats app. To make things even better, Vivid Seats now has a loyalty program that allows fans like you to earn credit back. It's called the Vivid Seats Rewards. Go to the App Store or Google Play and download the Vivid Seats app. Fans are automatically enrolled in the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program. Every purchase is backed by a 100% buyer guarantee. From the biggest concerts and games to the hottest theater shows and more, Vivid Seats has it all. Download the app and join the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program today. And when it's time to buy, new users can enter the promo code OVERTIME at checkout to receive a discount of up to $100. Once again, enter the promo code OVERTIME at checkout to receive a discount of $100. Again, new users can enter the promo code OVERTIME at checkout to receive a discount of up to $100. Take advantage of this exciting opportunity and claim your seats to see the Yankees in action at the start of the 2020 season. And we are back here on the Pinstripe Talk podcast, powered by Overtime Media. We head to Game 6 in Houston on Saturday night, and the Yankees are in a must-win situation in order to keep the series alive. Both teams decide to go with a bullpen game, as the Yankees turn to Chad Green, who has been really good in the series, while the Astros go to Brad Peacock. Now, bullpen games are a little scary, especially given the fact of, this is my opinion on the whole thing. With a starting pitcher, you could be on or off. If that starting pitcher's on, you can ride that pitcher as long as you have to. If that pitcher is off, you can then mix and match and hope that somebody out of the bullpen has it that day to help get you through the game. With a bullpen game, you're relying on multiple arms to have it during that game. If one guy doesn't have it, you're in a lot of trouble. And Chad Green really didn't have it right away. He lasted the first inning. He allowed a home run to Gurriel. It was 3-0 before you even blinked. And the whole game, you just waited for the Yankees offense to do something to get them back on track. Urshela homers in the fourth. And you're thinking, okay, this is what we need. We're down 3-2. Cut the lead to 1. The Yankees have multiple opportunities with runners in scoring position. A couple of key at-bats you can think of. Didi Gregorius comes up and he swings at the first pitch against a new reliever and rolls into a short grounder to end the inning. Same thing with LeMahieu. New pitcher, they're not making him work. They're not seeing what he has in the tank. They're jumping on the first pitch, and it wasn't a recipe for success. And I know that LeMahieu has had good luck and good success on first pitch swinging this season, but in this situation, I would have liked to have seen him work the count a little bit better. So in the game, the Yankees were 1-for-6 with runners in scoring position. And after the Chad Green inning in the first, you have to give credit to the guys who followed. You know, Happ went 2 innings, allowed no runs. Then you had 2 from Cessa, who was really good in this series. You got to give him credit. We all say that we want him out and he was terrible all year, but the guy proved why he was on the roster. He really earned his spot. Canley allows a run. Benzema doesn't break. Ottavino comes in. He throws a scoreless inning. Where was this guy all postseason? And then they go to Britton, and he allows no runs as well. So considering the amount of guys the Yankees had to use, and considering they only allowed 1 run, you'll take that every single day. Another key component of the game was Judge getting doubled up at first. A great play by Brantley. I don't think it was an all-time great play like Joe Buck said. And don't even get me started on Joe Buck and John Smoltz. We'll save that conversation for another day. But there was a lot of mishaps that the Yankees had that really hurt them in this series and in this game specifically. So let's just fast forward to the 9th inning where all the action seemed to have happened. Yankees are down to their final 3 outs. They're trying to tie this game to extend their season. The guy who is definitely their MVP this year comes up with a runner on, and he hits a home run to right field. It was kind of like a Jeter-like home run, to be quite honest with you, to tie the game. And the emotions are high. I can tell you, for one thing, I was jumping in excitement. I was thrilled. I was amped up. You think of excitement? I was there. I was on the edge of my seat. I was ready to go. Right there and then, I had a feeling that the Yankees were going to win this game. That they were going to force a Game 7. That they were going to prove the world wrong. And then, we go to the bottom half of the 9th inning. And Aroldis Chapman comes on to close the game. And he gets 2 outs. And he's 1 out away from getting out of it. But now, he faces Jose Altuve. And he starts to lose the strike zone a little bit toward the end of the inning. Chapman leaves a slider hanging up, and Altuve crushes it for a 2-run homer. And right there, the Yankee season ended in heartbreak. And it's a moment that Right now, it's hard to say because it's very fresh, but this is one of those moments that I feel will live on with a lot of us for a very long time. I could think of a couple of instances that really stand out to me in Yankee universe. You know, I could go back to 2001 when Luis Gonzalez hits the walk-off against Mariano. You could go to 2004 when they choked the lead against the Red Sox. This is one of those moments that I'll definitely never forget in a bad way, because it's a moment that's going to haunt us for a very long time. And being that we were so close to that ultimate goal of getting back to the World Series, it's just heartbreaking to lose to this Astros team again. So it's been very frustrating. It's a disappointing loss. It's a heartbreaking loss at that, and it's a really bad way to end your season. For those of you who are ripping Aroldis Chapman for the way he appeared on the mound, I'm going to defend Chapman. And, you know, take it for how you may. I respect your opinion on it in terms of him somewhat smiling. I think he was in shock. I really do. I think that he was in shock for what happened. And I just think that he couldn't believe what just occurred. I don't think he was smiling like, yay, we lost. I think it was more of a shocked, like, oh man, what just happened type of feeling. So give Chapman a little bit of slack here. The guy's been phenomenal all year. The guy's been phenomenal since he came to the Bronx. Cut him some slack. Before we get into a little bit more detail on the series, we're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to look at some studs and duds from this series and also look ahead to 2020 and beyond. All this on the Pinstripe Talk podcast, powered by Overtime Media. We'll be back in a few. Stay tuned. Today's episode of the Pinstripe Talk podcast is brought to you by CBS Sports HQ, the brand new streaming sports news network. It's live 24/7 and costs you nothing. That's right, it's sports coverage that's always on and always free. Always. CBS Sports HQ is coverage that is always focused on the game. Tons of highlights, breaking news as it happens, fantasy advice, and something we care about deeply here: gambling picks and analysis to get that extra edge. If you're into fantasy sports or even betting for games, this is the place to get all your important information. I know when I turn on CBS Sports HQ, I'll see the tips and trends that I need to win my fantasy matchups and my weekly bets. And don't forget, you can get access to all this great coverage completely free. I don't mean free for a week or a month, or if you have some special cable package. It's totally, completely free for everybody. You don't even need a login. Just download the CBS Sports app on your phone, Apple TV, Roku, Fire TV, or other connected device at any time to watch CBS Sports HQ. No fake debates. Just sports for real sports fans at the great price of completely free. You don't even have to log in or sign up for anything. Download the CBS Sports app and watch CBS Sports HQ today. And we're back here on the Pinstripe Talk podcast, powered by Overtime Media. I'm your host, Nick Delahanty. One thing that really hurt the Yankees in this series was their lack of hitting with runners in scoring position. Let's look at their numbers in the series as a whole. All right, game one, they were 3-for-11 with runners in scoring position. 7 guys left on base. Game two, they were 1-for-3, a little bit better, but still 7 guys left on base. Game 3 was atrocious, 0-for-6, 9 guys on base, 0-for-7 in Game 4, 10 left on. Game 5, 1-for-2 again. Remember, that was the game where they scored 4 runs in the first and the offense went missing. And Game 6, 1-for-6, 8 guys in scoring position, or left on base, I should say. So total, they were 6-for-35 in the series with runners in scoring position and left 42 total runners on base. Now, for the team that led baseball with hitting and with runners in scoring position, that is absolutely atrocious and definitely, definitely cannot happen. And that's a big reason why the Yankees lost this series. That really hurt them in the long haul. Say what you want, but it really did hurt them. We're going to look at some studs and duds from the ALCS series, starting with the offense. And really, if you look at it, there really wasn't many studs. DJ LeMahieu was the top guy, 346, batting average 9-for-26, scored 6 runs and 2 homers. LeMahieu's been brilliant all year. He's been absolutely phenomenal. What a signing. What a low-key signing that he was. proved a lot of people wrong through his performance. Gleyber Torres, the other one, 280 on the series, 7 for 25. He also had a pair of homers, drove in 6 runs. He was good all postseason, and at 22 years old really showed that he has a bright future ahead in the Bronx. Some of the duds that I consider duds, you got to start with Brett Gardner. He was 3 for 22 on the series, had 10 strikeouts. Gary Sanchez, absolutely atrocious. His approach at the plate was absolutely lost. 3 for 23. He had 12 strikeouts of his own. And then you have Edwin Encarnacion, who was absolutely pathetic, looked absolutely lost at the plate. He was 1 for 18, 11 strikeouts. He couldn't even put the ball in play. And yet he was getting big at-bats in this ALCS. And another guy who I consider a dud, and say what you want about him, but Giancarlo Stanton. If he was too hurt to play in this series, he should have been removed from the roster. At this point of the season, why are we playing with 24 men against their 25? It makes absolutely no sense to me. None whatsoever. Shame on Stanton. If you're not healthy, take yourself off the roster. It's a shame. He appeared in 2 games. He was 2 for 7 at the plate. But when he's in the lineup, he changes how teams have to pitch to the rest of the lineup. It doesn't matter if he's 100%. You mean to tell me that in Game 6, the biggest game of your season, he didn't play because you got in late? Because they were worried about his groin? Come on. Please, save it for another stump. I'm tired of hearing it. I'm tired of it. I really just think that the whole Stanton trade is starting to be a disappointment to me. To be quite honest with you, I think when the Yankees revamp their roster this offseason, and we're going to have a show detailing that, if they could find somebody, and I mean anybody, to take his contract, I would do it in a heartbeat. I would dump the contract because it's not helping them. I get it. Injuries happen. Yada, yada, yada. I get it. But when you're in a postseason situation, you need to win now. And if he's not healthy enough to play, he should have been replaced. So I think that's a bad job on the organization. I think it's a bad job on Stanton. I just think that the mentality is not there to where we need it to be, and it's more of a deficit than it is a help. There was plenty of times in Game 6 where Stanton could have came up and pinch hit. And especially given the situation where the Yankees have the versatility to make moves. So Edwin Encarnacion, who's 1 for 18, deserves an at-bat in the big part of the game. Or you could make the case that Brett Gardner, who's been equally as atrocious, deserves an at-bat. Or Aaron Hicks, who's 2 for 13. You can make the case for a lot of these guys. And it really hurt the fact that they didn't have Voit on the roster. They didn't have Tyler Wade on the roster because they brought back Stanton. And if you look back at the ALDS, what are the two moves they made to, quote-unquote, beef up the roster for the ALCS? They brought back Sabathia and replaced him with Wade, or replaced Wade with him. And then they brought back Stanton and took Voit off the roster. I'm sure that Voit could have helped by giving them a couple of at-bats, unlike Stanton. So I'm just really disappointed in Stanton. I'm disappointed in the way they handled the situation because I think that they could have gotten something out of someone instead of paying this guy to sit on the bench and look pretty. I just think it was a bad job overall, and that's why I consider him a dud in this series. In terms of pitching, it's really hard to give studs and duds out because of the fact of how the postseason rolls. So I'm going to give some standouts in my eyes that I thought were pretty solid contributors. Number one, Zach Britton, made 5 appearances, didn't allow a run in 5 2/3 innings. Was really good. Luis Sessa in 2 appearances. He pitched in 4 innings. He didn't allow a run. He was really good. I'm one of those guys who really is, I don't want to say I'm a Luis Sessa hater, but the guy drives me crazy, and he proved this wrong in the postseason. So, Luis, if you're listening out there, I owe you an apology, brother. You really did well, and thank you for stepping up when we needed you. In terms of the starting pitching, Paxton looked good in his start. I love the fact that he was able to convince Boone to keep him in the game. Looked really bad in his first start, but really made amends for it in that second start. And then the rest, Severino was iffy. Chapman and Green, they were used a lot. I kind of figured that they were going to get roughed up a little bit. Green pitching 4 2/3. The Astros hitters knew what to expect. But But the guy that really, really deserves a bad job is Adam Ottavino. Made 5 appearances. He couldn't get an out. It was just really embarrassing. And the last game of the series, he had a 1-2-3 inning, a nice clean inning. But again, one of the key offseason signings went lost in at the time when the Yankees really needed him. And I have to look back to Game 5 and when CC Sabathia got hurt. He is a warrior. He wants to be out there for this team. He loved his team with everything he had in him. And it's just really sad that that's the way his career ended. That's not the last moment I wanted to remember CC by. But as somebody who watched him for the past 10 years in the Bronx, I'm not going to remember him for that moment. I'm going to remember him for the warrior that came in 2009 and led this team to the World Series. I'm going to remember the guy that was a clubhouse presence that was bigger than the world. I'm going to remember the guy that not only was great on the field but off the field in terms of charity, in terms of giving back to the community, in terms of being there for the Yankees organization. I'm going to remember all the big games he pitched and the fire that he showed on the mound every time he had a big strikeout. I'm going to remember all those moments. And through ups and downs, through highs and lows, this guy had one goal in mind, and that was to help this team win and do the best he could every fifth day that he took the mound. So as he rides off into the sunset, and as he calls his career to an end, I just have one thing to say. Thank you, CC. Thank you for everything you've done for not only the New York Yankees organization and the fan base, but for Major League Baseball as a whole. You, in my opinion, are without a doubt a first ballot Hall of Famer. You are one of the most dominant pitchers I watched growing up. You are one of the most exciting players that I watched growing up. Every day you took the mound, I tuned in, I was glued to the television, whether it was for the Indians, whether it was for the Brewers, whether it was for the Yankees. I wanted to see you pitch, I wanted to see you thrive, because you had the heart of a lion, and that never gave up. So as you go off to new ventures and you hang out with your family and do more things with them and look at other adventures in life, hopefully you continue to do your podcast with Ryan Rucco, because I absolutely love listening to you too, by the way. I wish you all the best. And on behalf of Yankees Twitter and Yankees Nation, we thank you for everything you've done. It definitely has not gone unnoticed. You are a special player, a special person, and we wish you the best in wherever life decides to take you moving forward. Before we hit the final stretch of our final show of the 2019 season, we have one more quick commercial break for you. Stay tuned. October is a very busy month in the sports world. It's the only month in the year where all 4 major sports are going on at the same time. You want to get into the action? What better way to do that than by heading over to mybookie.ag? We have teamed up with MyBookie this October to give you this great offer. Sign up today at mybookie.ag and use the promo code OVERTIME and they will match your first deposit. Again, promo code OVERTIME and new users will have their first deposit doubled. mybookie.ag. You play, you win, you get paid. And we're back here on the Pinstripe Talk podcast, powered by Overtime Media. Now, Yankees fans, you're probably asking the same question that I am. Where do we go from here? Seriously, where do we go from here? It's disappointing. It's heartbreaking. It's frustrating. I covered it a lot earlier in the broadcast. I don't even have words to describe how I feel today. And how I'm going to feel, especially with the World Series coming up. It's just a sense of disappointment, a sense of frustration, a sense of heartbreak. It's very hard to deal with. But there's a lot to look forward to. And we should be excited to see where this Yankee team goes from here. We might see a lot of changes this offseason. What's going to be the status of certain guys that are going to hit the free agent market? Didi Gregorius, who's been good for the Yankees, do they decide to bring him back? Or does his age and the contract that he's probably going to demand keep them from bringing him back? You know, Brett Gardner had one of the best power years of his career. Went lost during the postseason. Do the Yankees bring him back again? And what kind of price tag does he demand? Does he demand a similar price tag that he had this year? Or does Gardner try to help this team and take a little less to stay in a place where he's called home for his entire career? How do you replace the leadership of CC Sabathia? And if you do lose Gardner, you do lose Gregorius, where does this clubhouse go from here? Do you try to extend an Aaron Judge this offseason, a Gleyber Torres, maybe even a Gary Sanchez? You figure that Edwin Encarnacion's on his way out. His $20 million option definitely won't be picked up. Where does this team go from here? There's a lot of question marks. Gio Urshela and Miguel Andujar, you expect them both to be healthy come the start of the year. Does one of them get traded for a pitcher or for additional help? Then you look in the outfield. How does Clint Frazier fit in? Does Clint Frazier fit in? What about Maben? What about Tauchman? You still have Tauchman under contract. Maybe we'll hit the free agent market, but do you bring a guy like that back who is nothing but good for you? And we haven't even talked about the pitching yet. What do you do at the front end of the rotation? Do you go out and throw the bank at Garrett Cole or Steven Strasburg if he opts out or Madison Bumgarner? And how do you cope if Aroldis Chapman says, you know what, I want to opt out? Do you pay him? Where do you go? Do you offer him a big contract and hope that his arm stays healthy? Or do you try to work something out with him to get him back on a better price tag? There's a lot of questions, especially with the pitching. Dellin Betances is another one who's going to hit the free agent market. These are guys that I'm throwing out here that I'm thinking of off the top of my head. You have a situation with your backup catcher. Austin Romine could very well go on the free agent market and get told by a team, listen, we want you to come in. We want you to start. We want to give you an opportunity. And he might jump at it. He thinks he's a starting catcher caliber in this league. He might take the chance and go for it. It's going to be an interesting offseason for the Yankees. And I hope that they do realize that they're still a few pieces away from winning a World Series. If they were a few pieces away in the past, George would overpay to get guys in the mix. But we've seen with Hal and his crew that that's not the case anymore. The Yankees will try to look for lower price tags and take a gamble on guys that they think could have a higher ceiling with them. So this offseason is going to be vitally important. The Yankees are getting into a situation where their young guys, their contracts are going to start to come up. The window to win continues to be now. You never rebuild in the Bronx. You reload. And this team definitely has some reloading to do as they move forward, especially if they want to compete for title number 28 in 2020. That's going to wrap it up for today's show. The disappointment of the season is definitely frustrating, but we cannot thank you guys enough for taking time out of your busy schedules to listen to our podcast. This year has been very exciting for our podcast, as you know, from following us on social media. We teamed up with Overtime Media to provide you with all our latest shows, and we cannot thank you enough for all the support that you continue to give us on a weekly basis. As the offseason rolls on and we get into the thick of things, continue to listen to us for all the updates regarding the Yankees. We're going to have podcasts coming out all the time throughout the winter. We're excited to see what the Yankees do. We're excited to see how the offseason shapes up. Hopefully, the Yankees make a couple of moves to help beef up the roster for next year. But in the meantime, we're going to have to kind of cope with our sorrows and find a way to get over it and look ahead to 2020. We're under 160 days away from opening day, in case you didn't know. So I'm going to leave you with that note. That's a positive note. The countdown to opening day 2020 is on. Follow us on Twitter at PinstripeTalkND. My personal account at Nick_Delahanty. Find us on Facebook by searching up Pinstripe Talk Podcast. Again, subscribe, rate, and review the show on Apple Podcast. You can find us on Spotify, Google Play Music, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, CastBox, Breaker, Stitcher, you name it, our podcast is there for you. Share the link with your friends. Let them join in on the conversation. You want to help us publicly advertise our show? Buy a shirt on our Teespring account. We'll post the link again for you guys so you can make that purchase. Help support the show. As we wrap up the 2019 season, David Cohn said it the best. It hurts because we care so much. And trust me, this one hurts, and it's going to hurt for a while. But the good news is we will have Yankees baseball in 2020, and that's definitely and always something to look forward to. So as we wrap up the Pinstripe Talk podcast, my name is Nick Delahanty. Again, we thank you all for tuning in. As always, let's go Yankees. We'll talk to you real soon.